This is Seven Mountain Business Radio. Each week, local experts discuss how the Bible is filled with sound business advice. Learn how to build effective systems, marketing, real estate mastery, and more. Now, here is your host, Karen Conrad.
Well, good morning. This is Karen Conrad, and welcome to 7M Business Radio. I am so glad that you joined me early this morning. And those of you that are listening by podcast, I want to welcome you. I'm on KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM, 1240 AM, 92.5 FM. And you can always listen live at KRDO.com. And you can listen on demand because I know this show is on early. It starts at 6:30 a.m., but you can listen to it anytime at krdonewsradio.podbean.com. Well, we are in a series called The Effective Entrepreneur. And last week, I introduced you to the strategy called the Blue Ocean Strategy. I'll tell you, this is one of what I would call my fan favorites. So when I teach this at the Caris Bible College Business School, or when I teach it at conferences and business summits around the world, this seems to be the one that people really get excited about. Because so many of us either want to start a business, or maybe we have a small business and it's not growing the way that we want. And this gives you real life strategies and easy to implement ways to start your business, increase your business through really finding that niche and that target market that in essence, it just makes competition irrelevant. So I want to give you a little bit of a review. If you didn't hear last week, I want to encourage you to go ahead and download that at krdonewsradio.podbean.com. And it gives you a really strong introduction to the Blue Ocean Strategy. But I'll give you an overview just so that we kind of understand where we are starting from and really what is the Blue Ocean Strategy. So Blue Ocean Strategy is a way for us to really approach our business unique from the competition. It's based on a mindset that market boundaries and industries can be reconstructed by the actions and beliefs of the industry players. It is empowering. And you might say, well, what's the opposite of a Blue Ocean Strategy? What would be my alternative? And that would be something called the Red Ocean Strategy. Now, Red Ocean is pretty typical, meaning that most businesses, when they open up, if they haven't thought through clearly how to differentiate themselves, they end up in what we call a Red Ocean. A Red Ocean is a space that there are multiple players in the industry, and nothing really sets them apart except for possibly technology, maybe distribution channels, and oftentimes people end up just having to differentiate themselves by cost. And then something happens when we have to compete solely on cost. A lot of times the reason that we started our business goes to the wayside because we have to work so hard to either reduce our expenses or we have to increase costs in a way that we're not able to deliver the type of service and quality that actually caused us to want to start our business to begin with. When we have to compete just on price, there's certainly businesses that makes sense to do. And if you're able to find that way to deliver your product and services much less expensive than other people, there is certainly a way to do it. I'll give you a great example. I think Walmart is a terrific example of that. I haven't studied them a lot, but I have studied them enough to know that their distribution system is excellent. And that system contributes to their ability to keep their prices down. So if we compare that to maybe a boutique or a small department store that might carry or deliver some of the same items, they are not able to do so at the same price as a Walmart. And the reason for that is they don't have the systems, the buying power, things like that in place. So when we look at being an entrepreneur or starting or having a small business, generally, price is not an area that we are able to compete in unless it's something that we can do to just keep our overhead low. For example, maybe we don't need employees, which keeps our overhead low. But if we do that, we are not giving ourselves the ability to scale either. So there's reasons for that. Like, for example, I know people that they have a business And what's most important to them in their life is really just to be able to work when it works for them, and they don't want the stress of having employees and overhead and, you know, office buildings. And so in that case, scaling up or growing their business is not really a top choice for them, meaning that's not what's driving them in their business. Really what's driving them is to have a lifestyle, to be able to have the flexibility. So we really need to go into our businesses, thinking about what is most important to us. And then, of course, what is the vision for that business and how can we best approach it? So going back to the red ocean versus the blue ocean, let me just give you an example of some of the things that you will see if you are in a red ocean strategy mode. So a red ocean is going to be something where you compete in an existing market space, meaning that there's nothing that's going to be changing about the market or the industry when you go in. You're not bringing innovation or anything new to the industry. So you have to basically compete within the parameters that your competition has already set. That's a red ocean. If you're competing in a red ocean, you have to beat the competition. So you have to be really focused on your competition, which, frankly, if you have a vision for a business, to me, that would not be very fun and very exciting, because I wouldn't be focused on how I can bless people in my business. I would just be focused kind of negatively on how to beat my competition. I have a great example of this. One of my really good friends, we just had dinner last night with her and her husband, and they own a business in California that is called the Organic Sweat Shack. Now, we were just talking about this strategy over dinner, because I met with Jennifer, I want to say a year and a half ago, and I was consulting with her, and we were working on how to create a business plan that is going to really set her apart and just give her long-term value in her business. And I told her at that time, because her business is infrared red saunas, which is actually a really big deal right now. It's making some major magazines, and it's really promoted by a lot of alternative health providers as something that contributes significantly to your health. So when we met on this and we were talking about her business model, and of course, it's just really cute. She's just got a great sense of style. So when you walk into the Organic Sweat Shack, not only are people really friendly, but you've kind of got that cute sort of maybe a Hobby Lobby look to the space. And she has trained her employees to just be welcoming and just really bless people. And then Jennifer brings to the table a background of she's a nutritionist and she is a fitness teacher. So she actually teaches a lot of fitness and is very good at it. So anyway, as we were talking about her model, I told her, I said, you know what, Jennifer, you have a blue ocean right now. She's out in a small community in California. But I said, I will tell you that with infrared saunas, the accessibility of it, you're easy to copy. And so you're going to have to figure out what you're going to offer as a value add that will always keep you in a unique market space. Well, fast forward to where we are today. So it's about a year and a half later. Sure enough, another sweat store, I guess you could call it, a sweat store opened up very near to the sweat shack. And she was really concerned about it at the time and kind of stressed out. And I was like, you know what, Jennifer, you are offering value, because we talked about this, that no one else can actually duplicate. And that value is actually Jennifer, because she's got that nutrition background and that fitness background. And she can consult with people if they've got health issues. She's got that background and that kind of love for people and incredible knowledge on what type of supplements to take, your eating, what you should eat, and those types of things. So I encourage her just to focus on that and not be concerned about the actual sauna part of it. Because so many times, and you can even hear this in Starbucks when you read their book, they say it's really not about the coffee. It's really about the experience that they provide for the people that go to Starbucks. And so anyway, so I was encouraging Jennifer with that. And last night as we were eating dinner, she said, you know what, Karen? We were talking about the competition. She said, here's what's happening. This new sweat store that's opened up has focused solely on trying to cut me down or cut my business down, or basically what they can do, just like I was describing, to beat the competition, which is the Organic Sweat Shack. But she said, I have not been affected one bit by my business. And then she went on to say, Karen, you warned me about this a year and a half ago when we sat down. You told me I have a blue ocean right now, but it will quickly become a red ocean if we do not find that niche and that unique value proposition. So anyway, I thought that was a great testimony. I said, that's so interesting, Jennifer, because I'm teaching on this on Seven Mountains Radio. And she's actually a case study where we approach this on the front end, and it has cushioned her and protected her in at a time when there is other people coming in with the basic service that she's providing. So back to the red ocean, what are the things that would describe a red ocean, and it's competing in an existing market space. I just described people. You have to be focused on beating the competition. If you're in a red ocean, you just have to exploit the existing demand. So basically what that means is you're not creating new demand. You have to take the existing demand, and you have to try to attract clients to you rather than your competition. And usually, like I mentioned, that unfortunately has to be done with price or sometimes technology or distribution channels. You'd be looking at things in a red ocean to make the value-cost trade-off. And so that is exactly what I was describing earlier, that if you go in and you have a heart to do your business and you just have, you know, you want to deliver amazing service and maybe high-touch service, well, you have to decide if you are going to give up some of that service to lower your price. And that happens a lot. You know, sometimes what we see is small restaurants or small boutiques get purchased by a larger company. And pretty soon, you know what's going to happen. It's like, you know what? They're not going to be able to continue to give that high-touch service because they're going to have to start to watch their bottom line. I think an example of that, that those of you that are from Minnesota or maybe the Chicago area, we remember the retail store called Dayton's. I'm going way back, aren't I? And then they were purchased by a company. I don't even remember what the second company was. And then they were eventually purchased by Macy's. Now, Macy's is a great store. I'm not criticizing Macy's in any way. They do a really great job. But when it was Dayton's and it was more that local store, you know, every time you went into the store, you saw people there that were offering to help. Well, with retail stores in general, that overhead is just so difficult. And because of having so much happening online where people can order clothes online. I don't know if you've noticed, but in pretty much every department store, if you go in, it's very difficult to find someone to help you, or there's like checkouts that are dispersed throughout the store. They're not everywhere in every department anymore. And even if there are checkout stands, there's not people in it. So it kind of that whole experience that we remember from walking into Dayton's is just no longer there. And so you might say, wow, what was the blue ocean that the department store could have hung on to? And maybe Nordstrom's would be an example because they have really kept their service at a high level. And so they've kind of created a niche that if I want high touch service in a department store, that would be one of the places to go. So that's just an example of having to make that value cost trade-off if you're going to continue to compete in a red ocean. And then also the last thing that would be comparison, then we'll go into the blue ocean, is to align the whole system of a company's activities with its strategic choice of differentiation or low cost. And so the example I gave with Walmart, you know, really when I go to Walmart, I'm not expecting high touch service, right? I get in a line and I'm hoping that if it's too long that they'll have another person come in and open up a register. But I expect to wait, and I expect that it's going to be a long wait. But I do that. I still go to a store like Walmart because I want to get a wide variety of items and I want the best price. So do you see that? It's sort of like it's a trade-off that Walmart has made. Is like, I'm not going to be able to give high-touch service. However, I am going to be able to deliver to clients the cheapest price, basically, in many areas. And so they've aligned their store and their operations to support that strategy. So that is red ocean. Now let's compare that to a blue ocean. So the blue ocean, you create an uncontested market space. A lot of times, too, when you go into a blue ocean, I tell people that, look, enjoy it while you have it. So you kind of, I'm from Minnesota, so we would say, you know, make hay while the sun is shining. So that means that if it's not raining, get out there and cut that hay. So that would be the same thing. It's like if you've been able to create a blue ocean, go maximize it. and then have a long-term strategic plan. If somebody comes in and starts to infringe on your blue ocean, what are you going to do to either pivot, to innovate, right, and to keep that space, or maybe it's something so special that you'll never have to deal with coming out of that blue ocean. So you create an uncontested market space. Do you remember the example that I used last week? I used the example of Doggy Vacay. And so when Doggy Vacay first came out, it was groundbreaking. It was really like a bed and breakfast for your pet. And I was just describing to you, we had a dog, Bolo, who was alive for a lot of years, like 18 years. And you know what I'm saying. Those of you that have dogs, they're just like so near and dear to your heart. So every time that I had to go out of town for a business trip or we would go on a family vacation, Bolo had to go to a very, I don't know, they're friendly, but I want to say sort of a cold place that I would have to bring him, a kennel, and he would go behind a locked bar and it would just be all concrete and we put his little bed in there and he would just cry and cry. And then when I picked him up, he was just wild because he had such anxiety from being separated. So it was actually kind of traumatic for me because I love Bolo. So I was in Colorado and I had to go on a trip. And I was like, oh my goodness, friends of mine, you know, I didn't want to infringe on them anymore. And I was just so concerned, like, what am I going to do with Bolo? Because he was getting older and my heart was just sad. And then I discovered Doggy Vacay. So I was able to, it's like, this is amazing. I can bring Bolo to a home where I know they love pets or they wouldn't be doing this. Nobody would want to have three or four dogs at their house if they didn't love them. And I just felt like, wow, if he wanted to sit on their couch, he could sit on their couch. If he wanted to sleep at the end of their bed, he could sleep at the end of their bed. And it just took so much stress away. But when you think about it, that was an amazing blue ocean. So they had a period of time that they were able to go into the market and exclusively offer those services. And the value adds that they bring in, many of you that have used this service, are things like if Bolo was stressed out, one of the people, they would put lavender by his pillow. And it's like, oh, that's so nice. They would send me pictures. I'm on the beach enjoying Cocoa Beach and kind of thinking about Bolo. I wonder how he's doing. And then all at once, a little text message would show up on my phone. And here was a little video or a picture of Bolo having fun, being walked, playing with other dogs. So they created a space that was so unique. And they had to create some systems, of course, around that. But they really enjoyed that space for a long, long period of time. Now they actually got purchased out by, I think, Rover.com. And so that was an example of they enjoyed their space for a while, but it was pretty easy to duplicate. And so I'm sure they did very well with that sale. So that's creating an uncontested market space. Making the competition irrelevant. You know, that is something that some companies have done a great job with. Meaning that you go into a business or a space and really competition is irrelevant. It really doesn't mean anything. So let's give an example of that. I know I use Starbucks as an example a lot, but they've done so many things right with the way that they've modeled their business. I'm not commenting on the company itself, but just basically on how they've created the services that they offer. But who would have thought, you know, 20 years ago, or maybe 30 years ago, I'm probably giving away my age here a little bit. Who would have thought 30 years ago or more that we would be paying $5 for a cup of coffee? Think about that. We used to go to either the gas station or we'd go to a restaurant, and a cup of coffee was literally 50 cents, and you just had a cup of coffee. But this whole new world of coffee drinks was opened up through the creation of espresso machines. You know, we didn't even know what a mocha was when I grew up, and certainly would have never, ever in a million years thought that I would spend $5 on a cup of coffee. But all at once we have frappuccinos, and now we've got something like raspberry blossom. And so it's really a space that was created that had never existed before. And it just transformed the world of coffee. There's a lot of different companies out there that would meet that, but I think we can all relate to that, especially if you are, you know, in your 50s or above like I am, that you would know, wow, I do remember when we bought coffee and there was never a mocha or a cappuccino on a menu in any restaurant where I grew up. The next thing that we would look at for a blue ocean would be to create and capture new demand. So that's really creating a need for something that we didn't know we had a need for. In a way, home staging is a little bit like that. Now, it's been around for quite a while, but even when I was teaching on home staging, I wasn't even teaching on it, actually. I just mentioned it briefly. When I was in the UK and we were teaching at a business conference, and I was teaching, I can't remember even what topic I was on, and I just was mentioning as an example, I brought in home staging, and then I went on to teach my topic. Well, after the session, I had people lined up, and I thought, wow, this is awesome. I must have really been effective in the topic that I was teaching. Well, do you know what? Most of those people lined up to talk to me about home staging, which I just talked about for a couple minutes. And the reason for that was home staging has not hit those countries yet. So it's probably in some areas. I'm sure in London and some of the larger communities, it's probably there. But it was actually like a blue ocean or almost a new concept over in Europe in the countries of the people that were there. So I had people from the UK, I had people from Germany, I had people from multiple countries saying, will you please, please, please teach me how to do this? We don't do this in our market. Well, that is an example of being able to create and capture a new demand. So, by the way, I mentioned last week about my home staging seminar or workshop. It was awesome. It was so much fun. We had an intensive day of home staging from 9 to 6 in Denver, and we had a great turnout, and we actually, I taught people, there's six continuing education credits and if you're a real estate agent, and we did hands-on home staging, and it was so much fun. So basically, I'm looking at, okay, so that went really well. We had a great time. People really got the concepts because they were able to apply it. So now I'm kind of thinking like, wow, maybe I should bring 7 Seconds over to Europe, right? And so that could be an opportunity for me to create and capture new demand. And it would be they don't even know that they need it, right? So if they don't have home staging, I could let them know that they do need it. So I'm thinking about that. The next thing that we want to talk about with the blue ocean that kind of compares it to the red ocean is you break the value cost trade-off. Okay, I'm going to repeat that. You are able to, with the blue ocean, break the value cost trade-off. So an example of that would be going back to the doggy vacay. You know what? I wasn't really comparing prices between doggy vacay and a kennel because it was more about the experience. Okay. Now, if it was way too expensive, I wouldn't be able to do it. But I was at lunch the other day with someone and they were talking about that they brought their dog to doggy daycare. And I was like, what? So that's another example. Who would have thought about doggy daycare? But that's another thing that really has broken the value cost trade-off. Because if I'm concerned about my dog at home, I'm going to bring my dog to someone that's similar to doggy vacay all day. But I'll tell you what, that did not exist 20 to 30 years ago. And we didn't even know we had a need for doggy daycare, right? Okay, so then the last item that would compare that red ocean to blue ocean, this is a blue ocean description here. So align the whole system of a company's activities in pursuit of differentiation and low cost. Here's a great example of this. How about Uber? Uber is something that, you know, our only option was taxis or to get a friend to drive us or maybe a bus. And taxis are very expensive. I travel pretty extensively, and depending on the area that you're in, you pay a lot of money for a taxi. Plus, it's a little bit cold. The cars maybe aren't so nice, and the person is, well, there's some friendly taxi drivers. Generally, it's a little bit more of an impersonal situation. And then here comes Uber, and they really differentiated themselves with low cost because generally it costs a lot less to have an Uber than a taxi. And the experience of having a person's vehicle be part of the experience. And so I think that's another great example of a blue ocean. And I don't, you know, study that market too much, but I'm sure there'll be other companies that will be looking into how they can deliver that type of service using a similar model. So as we continue with the effective entrepreneur, I hope that helps you and actually gives you an encouragement about how you could differentiate yourself. And so if you are looking for growth, if you're looking for a unique way to grow your company, I choose innovation and look for that blue ocean. Now, I do have a free download on my website that I want to invite you to take advantage of. So go to KarenConrad.net. And there's a banner, if you wait for it or if you click on it to have the banners kind of turn, there is a banner that's got sort of like a scientist-type image on it, and you can click on that and download the free Effective Entrepreneur download and outline. It's just like a two-page thing, and I provide for you the scientific method, which we'll go into next week. Or you can go to KarenConrad.net and click on Store, and you can find that free download and download it through the store. I have a lot of free material out there, by the way. So if you are looking for some things to download and kind of get you jump-started in these areas, I invite you to go to my website and take advantage of those. All right, so next week, join me. We are going to be unpacking this a little bit more, and I'm going to be talking about the scientific method. So sometimes it's great to have all these ideas, but we don't know how to apply it. So next week, I'm going to focus on how to implement your Blue Ocean strategy. So again, we're on KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM, 1240 AM, 92.5 FM. You can always listen live at krdo.com, and you can listen on demand. If you have a friend or maybe a son or a daughter, anyone, a coworker that you feel would be blessed by these teachings and this program, please share with them my link on krdonewsradio.podbean.com, and you can listen to this at any time. And you can join my subscription. I don't send out a lot of emails, but I try to give you some really good content and update you on events. So go to KarenConrad.net and click on subscribe. And as I come out with new programs, and next week, a matter of fact, on my TV program, I'm going to be teaching a series called Fear Not. Subscribe and you'll be able to keep up to date with everything happening with Karen Conrad and my team. All right. God bless you. Thank you for joining me. And I guess I'll join you next week, next Saturday. So 6:30 a.m. on KRDO.
You've been listening to Seven Mountain Business Radio. Heard every Saturday morning at 6:30 on KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM, 1240 AM, and 92.5 FM.